So how's everybody today? I encourage you guys about all the stuff that's coming up. The ministry team, if you guys are interested in learning how to minister to people and being part of the team here that's going to be available for people every Sunday to be able to minister, you know, through the prophetic, healing, leading people to the Lord. I mean, we want to be prepared for what God is going to be sending us. I mean, a lot of us have, there's been a lot of dreams about what God's going to be doing here. And we really feel like as a leadership team that we need to kind of prepare for the people that God's going to entrust us with, you know, that we don't want to lose people through the cracks, that God, I believe God trusts us. And he's going to send people here that are going to need ministry, that are going to be part of this team, that are going to help build what God wants to do here. And part of that piece is having a team. We all are called to minister, obviously, but God wants to, we want to have like a focused team of people that are trained and equipped to know how to pray for people, because there's a lot of need out there. And we have an unlimited resource from heaven. So learning to access that. Yeah. So anyway, if you guys are interested in doing a ministry team, I encourage you. Talk to me about it. Talk to Travis. Come to that training on the 14th. And we'll move forward with that. Is that cool? We've done prophetic teams in the past. How many of you guys have been part of prophetic teams in the past? It's going to be like that, but it's going to be like prophetic teams. It's going to be healing teams, deliverance team, all kind of wrapped in one. You know, it's kind of like what's your need? God can meet your need, and we're going to train and equip a team to do all those things. So does that sound good? Anybody interested in that? Yeah? Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's going to be powerful. I mean, you guys who have experienced it before, especially prophetic teams, I mean, you just see how God shows up and just does stuff, and you're just like, whoa, God used little old me. You know what I mean? And just really transform people's walks and the direction of their life by one touch from the Lord, man. One touch. Gosh, we have like meetings of hours and hours of meetings, but man, one touch from the power of God, a person can be changed. Their whole life can be changed in a different direction. And that's what we're after. We're not after like hours and hours of meetings. We're after people getting touched, experiencing the reality of heaven and being reconciled with their Father, you know? Anyway, that's my spiel for it. So we've been talking about intercession, right? Sort of on and off the past, it's been about a month. It was actually, I think Justin kicked it off a little bit. We were already been kind of feeling it. And when Justin from Morningstar came and shared, he was speaking a little bit about the intercession. And we just feel like God wants to do something very significant in this city. And I believe Morningstar is part of that. Part of that facilitating what God wants to do here, obviously, is prayer. I mean, prayer is probably the first thing that needs to be established. You know, a prayer ministry or like a prayer, praying people to see a move of God, to see a move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've done a lot of revival history research on my own, and I don't know any significant move of God that took place without prayer, without first an establishment, a group of small group of people, large group of people, whatever, where like there was a concentrated time of prayer of pursuing a move of God. A lot of times I think we just kind of hoping God, we just need a sovereign move of your Spirit. But God, he set up the order of his kingdom is he wants to co-labor and partner with us to see his kingdom come. You guys know that. We've talked about this for months. So basically, so that's what we're kind of feeling. We're feeling like the Lord wants to encourage us and is inviting us and into a deeper time of relationship and in prayer with him. You know, Travis was talking about it last week about friendship with God, right? that's actually where we start. Well, we start as sons, right, and daughters, and then there's a friendship that develops with the Holy Spirit, really, and where he begins to share his secrets. He begins to share what's on his heart. He begins to involve us in what he's doing here on the earth. Man, that's awesome. I mean, what a privilege to be invited to be like, hey, the God of the universe, the God who like made everything, to come to like one of us and be like, hey, Paul, this is what I'm doing in the earth. I want you to be involved with it. I want to partner with you to actually see it come to pass. I mean, it's powerful. It's an awesome privilege. And that's what he's offering to us right now. And I think it's important too, because, you know, like it or not, like we're kind of rebuilding the church here. You guys feel that? You kind of notice that? We're kind of almost, it's like we're rebuilding foundations. We're building on good stuff that's been sown throughout the years. And it's like, but it's, I think it's significant that he's talking to us about it right now, because he knows that if prayer is not the foundation, if we're not seeking, God, what's on your heart, man, we're going to be spinning our wheels for years. We're going to be part of really good ideas, but not really see the kingdom of God invade our city. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be honest, I'm sick of like spinning wheels. I'm honestly sick of good ideas. I want God ideas. I want, God, what's on your heart? I want to begin to partner, not begin, but continue and hopefully see his purpose and his vision for what he wants to do in our church and in our city come to pass. Who else is with me? I mean, you guys with me on this? I mean, a lot of you guys have been Christians for years and you know what I'm talking about. Well, it's not going to happen until we begin to really partner with him in prayer. It's just not. I mean, we can live an awesome Christian life, and but if we really want to see the full potential, the full purpose of what God has for us, our family, this city, it's going to happen through that prayer. It's going to happen through that intimate relationship that's birthing the purpose of God through prayer. And I've been so encouraged over the past couple of months, you know, with the watch nights and even our leadership teams, we like spend a lot of time in prayer. And our prayer is really simple. It's been like, Lord, what's on your heart? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are your ideas? What do you want us to put our hands to? Because there's tons of need out there. There's so much need out there. It's overwhelming. But God, what are you doing? And what do you want us to put our hand to? Because when you're doing it with us, we know we're going to succeed. And we're going to see the impossible overtake. We're going to see the impossible become possible. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. All right. So anyway, we've been talking about intercession for a while. And I'm going to go back to the basics just for a little bit. And then we're going to get into a story about Elisha. Can anybody tell you, like, does anybody, we use that, throw that word out a lot. Does anybody know what intercession actually means? Like, what does intercession mean? What do you guys think? Do you guys realize that that's what intercession means? It means to be basically, the literal word actually means a meeting with. That's kind of weird kind of definition, but that's like the literal, it means a meeting with. It reminds me of like, my favorite verse, Exodus 33:11, where Moses would go into the tent of meeting and he would just get in God's presence. And then Joshua, he was hanging out there with him. And when Moses left, Joshua just hung out in the tent because he didn't want to go anywhere else. He was in the tent of meeting. There's an intimacy that's associated with intercession, an intimacy with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that. But so that's what it literally means, you know? So why does God want us to intercede? Number one, relationship. And I'm the broken record with this. You know, everything God does, his ultimate purpose, his ultimate goal is relationship. Everything he does, everything he calls us to, if relationship is not part of it, it becomes religious. It becomes dead, comes dried out. So even talking about prayer, if relationship isn't the end result, it's not one of the major results in our prayer life, it's going to become religion. It's going to become works. It's going to become dry. Because when you get into relationship with the Lord, it's not dry. I mean, I feel like it sometimes, like, Lord, where are you? But there's like a, there's still kind of like, you're with me here. What's on your heart? So ultimately, number one, and when we partner with him in prayer, we get to experience his heart, what he's really like. You know, it's kind of like yesterday, you know, sometimes I make these cinnamon rolls or whatever for the kids. And yesterday, Lydia was like, oh, Dad, can I help you make cinnamon rolls this morning, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like thinking through my mind, I was like, okay, this is going to take about 10 times longer. And we might mess them up a little bit, you know, and I really like cinnamon rolls, right? And the kids really like cinnamon rolls. But at the same time, I'm like, man, this is an awesome time for me and Lydia just to hang out, you know? It's like, I don't need her to help me make cinnamon rolls, but I want to involve her in what I'm doing because I want her to enjoy me and I want her, and I want to enjoy her. The Father is the same way with us. He doesn't need us to pray the kingdom of heaven to come down on earth. He doesn't need that. He could just instantaneously be like, okay, this thing's done. All right, wrap it up, guys. Trumpets. Let's end this thing. Son of God coming down on the clouds. But no, he wants to partner with us. He wants to engage us because he wants us to get to know how good of a father he really is. He wants us to know him experientially. And he wants to experience, he enjoys us. He enjoys you. When you spend time with him, he enjoys you. Now, some of us believe that more than others. But as we begin to really experience him and his love for us, man, we are more and more convinced of that. So that's God, he doesn't need us, but he wants us. So number one, God wants, is calling us to intercede. Number one, out of he wants relationship with us, right? All right. So standing, so you're coming in on behalf of somebody else when you're interceding. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22:30. Some of this is review that you guys are even more versed in about this than me. But I just want to tie a couple things together here. It's Ezekiel 22:30. A lot of you know this verse, you probably memorized it. And it says, I looked for a man among them who will build up a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. So here you have the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, and he's saying, I am searching, I am looking for somebody to stand in the gap. So you guys have heard that before, right? Who here has heard that intercession is standing in the gap, right? So it's that in between, it's that going in between, it's going on behalf of somebody. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, you guys know the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants to partner with him to see heaven come to earth. So we are literally, almost in a sense, standing in the gap in between heaven and earth to see his kingdom and his will be established here. That's what intercession is. It's powerful. It's an awesome privilege. Because how many know there is a gap between heaven and earth? Do you see heaven manifesting everywhere you're going? Not all the time, but yeah, sometimes. So hopefully we're seeing some of it. But wherever you go, you have the opportunity to actually literally stand in the gap between heaven and heaven and earth to see the resources of heaven come to earth, right? We're standing in the gap to see what's on the heart of the Father to manifest here on the earth. So God wants to partner with us to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is heaven through prayer. So how do you practically do that? I'm not going to go through too much teaching. I've got 3 sermons here, so I'm going to like spare you guys. I really want to like get into actual some practical ways of doing this. So we're gonna just talk a little bit about here. Everybody turn to 2 Kings 6:11, and I think this is an awesome practical picture. Biblical picture of how we partner with God to see his kingdom come through prayer. All right, so I'm going to start verse 11. So a little background here. You've got Elisha, and he's kind of raising havoc, you know, in the land. He's basically, the Lord's giving him prophetically the plans of these enemy kings, and Elisha's giving them to the king of Israel, and they're basically kind of, they know his plan, so they're able to stop him. So let's start from right there. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of the officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses. This is Batman, right? No. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning, and an army of the horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came down toward Elisha, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, that's pretty powerful scripture right there. And it's awesome. It's like an awesome picture of the reality of the battle that's kind of going on around us, right? Now, he literally had an army surrounding him, coming to get him, you know? Now, we don't necessarily, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, right? So our battle is more spiritual battle, but there's a spiritual battle going on here. I believe that those armies were inspired of the enemy that were coming against Israel. And, you know, there's a big difference between the two kind of main characters in this story here. You got Elijah and you got his servant, right? Now, their reactions are, like, kind of different, right? And a lot of times, we're kind of like Elijah's servant, right? We're kind of like, we judge things, and we make decisions based on what we see with our natural eyes, right? How many of you guys do that sometimes? I do it all the time. And our prayer actually comes out of that place. And a lot of times that prayer isn't very effective because we're praying not from a place of where we're actually seated, you know? Does that make sense? Because where you're seated and where your perspective is will determine really how you pray and how you intercede. I mean, how many times have you guys come or like you've been at church or one of your coworkers and they come with you with this like impossible problem? And they are just completely overwhelmed with it. And you are tempted to kind of get overwhelmed with it too. It's like, oh gosh, man, I can't help you there. Like, you know what I mean? There's that kind of moment where you're just kind of like, oh man, this is not good. And then that happens to us all the time. We're tempted, even in our own life situation, where things are happening against us in the natural, and we're just like overwhelmed by like the situation. I think there's an awesome lesson that we can learn here from Elisha. You know, he didn't freak out here. I don't know about you, but if I saw like literally an army like surrounding and they're just for me, I'd be freaking out, you know? And but he didn't freak out. And I think because of his relationship with the Lord, he knew the Lord. He knew how to pray. He knew how to see what God was doing. He had a different perspective. He was living in a different place, really. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about where are we seated? Where are we seated? You guys know? In heaven. We're seated with who? With Christ, the victorious one, in heavenly places, right? So our perspective should be a lot bigger. We should have a better bird's eye view, basically, what's kind of going on. We should be able to get the whole picture. God, what's going on here? Kind of picture it like the Lord kind of brought this analogy to me with this. Like, a lot of you guys watch football? Yeah? You see the head coach with their headsets on and they're always throwing it or something like that, you know, yelling into it. Well, who are they talking to? Do you guys know who they're talking to? They're talking to coaches in the play box. They're talking to their offensive, defensive, all these wide, they have like coach for every department, like wide receiver coaches, everything. And they're giving they are giving the head coach like intel about what's going on from their perspective. They're seeing a lot bigger picture. Have you guys ever gone to a football game? You guys ever played football? You ever been on the field? All you see is some stinky, grimy guy right in front of you. Your perspective is pretty small. And you ever been to a football field? I've been seeing, who loves Redskins here? Come on now, show your love. Yeah, Redskins. I've been there. I've been up, you know, in the stadium and watched the game there. And when you're up high, I mean, you see the whole thing, you know? It's awesome perspective, right? Well, it's the same way with us. When we're seated in heavenly places, we have the ability, we have access to see the whole picture. We have access to heavenly intel. Because guess what? A lot of times what we're seeing in the natural is like very, very small picture of what's actually taking place here. How many of you guys know that? Yeah, a lot of the times. And God, he's calling us higher. He's calling us to pray, first off, in that proximity, that closeness. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's that whole, like what even Travis was talking about last week, about John, his proximity to the Lord allowed him information that nobody else at the table knew. And this was like a habitual place for him. You know why we know that? Because Peter's kind of like, hey, John, he's tight with Jesus. John, what is the Lord doing? What is he saying? Who's going to betray him, right? That is where we're called to be. We actually are in that place, whether you know it or not. No one's half the battle, right? We don't know where we're seated. If we had a revelation of us literally being seated in heavenly places, man, our brains would probably melt. You know what I'm saying? Elijah was operating in a different place. He was operating. He was here on earth, but he was standing in the gap between this heaven and the earth. And he had this intel from heaven. And he's like, man, he's talking to his servant. He's like, Lord, open his eyes. Give him the full picture. Show him what's really going on here. And he opens his eyes. And what do they see? They see an angel army, fiery chariots and all. And I mean, we kind of like cartoonize this story, you know what I mean? But the reality of this, how many know that? I bet you he was probably a little scared. You know what I mean? Everybody who sees an angel in the Bible seems like they freak out. They're like, think they fall on the ground. They're afraid. That's like the first thing that comes out of angel's mouth. Don't be afraid. Stop freaking out. I'm with you on here. I'm for you. You know, we have this resource, you know, and there's an awesome, you know, and I even turned a song into it, you know, phrase that Elisha says to him. It's like, there's many more with us than there are against us. You're not seeing the full picture here. the resources of heaven far outnumber what the enemy has coming against us. Our God is abundant. He is huge in the resources. One of my favorite scriptures is, you know, that prayer that like the eyes of our heart would be filled with light, flooded with light, that we would see the resources of heaven. Read that scripture. That's Ephesians 1:17, I think. I mean, it's awesome. We have so much available to us as co-heirs with Christ, as sons and now as friends of God. And God wants to reveal those things to us. And he does it, you know, and we've done the prophetic training. It's basically this, it's the same deal. It's relationship. It's dialogue. In our dialogue, our back and forth with the Lord, he reveals things. He shows us pictures. He gives us dreams. We get impressions. You guys know, listen to the podcast if you don't know. We've kind of, in the same way, God wants us to pray in the same place. He wants us to pray and to intercede in the same place because God wants to see his kingdom come more than we do. It's not like he's withholding things from us. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's looking for somebody who will actually stop and listen and be like, God, what is on your heart? What are you thinking about? And then allowing him to reveal the resources that are available to us that we can actually even, to Elijah, he's commanding. But he was getting this picture, and I can't, you know, we don't see the dialogue that's going on here between Elijah and the Lord, but I'm sure he's asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord's probably like, hey, strike him with blindness. And it's a cool story. You guys, we won't get into it, and he kind of leads them around. And anyways, it all turned out for the good of everybody. It was like, but he saw God's will and God's kingdom come to earth. So in the same situation, how many of you guys know when the servant, when his eyes were open, when he saw these angel armies, how many know his faith level went from like negative whatever to like a 10? You know what I mean? God wants to reveal to us, and I bet you his prayer was a lot different. I bet his confidence, he's like, oh, wow, gosh, bring it on. Come on. You know what I mean? Anyway. Number one, when we're praying, when we're partnering with God, get heaven's perspective on what you're praying for, on what you're targeting. Get heavenly intelligence of what's actually going on here. Don't pray out of a place of carnal knowledge. Don't try to like figure out, oh, here's the problem. How many times, I mean, this annoys me to all ends when I like tell somebody, hey man, I need your prayer. And then they're like, okay, what is it? What's going on? And they try to fix it. Well, maybe you should try doing this. Maybe if we prayed this and they're like trying to use their brain to like fix it. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? I do it to myself too sometimes. Like, man, this situation is tough. What can I do here? Instead of just being like, just turning and being like, Lord, you see the bigger picture here. What do you want to do here? What's your heart in this situation right now? Because I want to partner with you because this situation, on my own, I am completely unequipped, unqualified, and it's an impossible. I need the supernatural to intervene in this situation. You guys have situations like that? I mean, we are in it as a nation, as a city even. We need the supernatural resources from heaven. We don't need good ideas. We don't need people to try to come and fix it. We need to partner with the Father, what he's already doing. There's actually angels that are, I believe, waiting for us to step into this place to be released. The resources of heaven, they're like just hanging out, waiting for the co-heirs of Christ to come stand in their place and start declaring and start partnering with God and bringing heaven to earth. You know, we see that in that story with Daniel. We talked about Daniel, you know, remember when he went on that fast and he's like, I am going to determine, he set his face as flint or something. He's like, I'm going to pray and fast until I get an answer of this crazy vision that I got, you know? And immediately when he began to pray, it, you know, we know in the story that God released an angel in response to his prayer. We have this same inheritance. Actually, we have a better inheritance because we're sons and daughters now. We're actually co-heirs. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The covenant we walk in is a way better covenant than Daniel was walking in. We have an intimacy to the throne of grace that the Old Testament, that some of them, I believe, tapped into through faith. But like, we have complete access the day we're born again. You know what I'm saying? We can boldly come into the throne of grace. We can boldly come into the Holy of Holies. Where in the Old Covenant, they were struck dead. Unless they did all this crazy ritual stuff and all the blood had to be applied and they couldn't have any scabs and, I mean, crazy stuff. They'd go through crazy stuff. The cross accomplished all of that so that we can now boldly come before the very throne of God and be like, Daddy. You know, a really cool thing as I was studying about intercession, there's an actual translation about intercession that means to stroke the face. As a kid would stroke their parents' face. We have that intimacy and we have that access to sit on our Father's lap, to get close like John got close to the Lord and laying his head on his chest. Be like, God, intervene here. What are you doing in this situation? Because I want to partner with you to see it take place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Man, what a privilege. What an awesome privilege. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the cross, because that's what Jesus accomplished. One of the many things he accomplished through the cross. So number one, get heaven's perspective on what you're targeting, what you're praying. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. God shares his secrets with his friends. You are no longer servants. You're now friends, right? John 15:15. Pray for prophetic insight on a situation that you're targeting. Ask the Lord, Lord, what's on your heart? What are you doing in this situation? You're going to get stuff. He is looking for people to partner with him. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap between heaven and earth. He's looking. And I bet you when you turn God's attention. Like when you turn, you're like, Lord, what's on your heart? He's like, who said that? No, I mean, you know, it's God. He knows all things. But like, you know, I'm sure he's kind of like, here's somebody who wants to partner with me. You know, here's somebody who wants to see my purposes come to pass. And he'll answer us. He'll show us what's going on. So we'll get that heavenly intel. And sometimes we'll see what the enemy is doing in situations like in this story. If we were reading before, Elijah was actually getting prophetically what they were talking about in the enemy's war room, or actually in his bedroom, wasn't it? I mean, that's awesome. But he didn't stay on that, you know. Really, a lot of times we can get kind of stuck. I'm going to just be honest with you. A lot of times we can kind of get stuck on what the enemy's doing. And I'm going to tell you right now, we do need to be aware of what the enemy's doing. Right? Don't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. I can't remember the scripture of that, but you guys know the scripture. But I'm going to tell you one thing, a trick of the enemy, he does this all the time. How many of you guys know what the enemy wanted from the very beginning was to be like God? He wanted to be worshiped. He wanted attention. He wanted to be beheld. He's like, look at me, I'm beautiful. He wanted worship. You know, he's still doing the same thing now. He wants us to focus and to give him attention. So sometimes you can actually get pulled into this. And I don't know if you guys, sometimes we'll get into like prophetic kind of circles and we'll get into prayer circles and we'll actually get pulled and we kind of concentrate so much on what the enemy's doing that we forget that we're on the offensive and that we actually have a higher perspective than what's going on in second heavens. You guys know that? Now, let me clarify. God does give us information and intel of what the enemy's doing. But our our response shouldn't be like, okay, we see the enemy doing this. Okay, what? And then try to figure out in our brain, how do we come against the enemy? What did I do last time? And like start, you know what I mean? Kind of going to the carnal brain and trying to figure out. Our prayer should be instead of like, okay, how can we come against him? It's like, no. Whatever God does, it trumps what he's doing. So God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is your response to the enemy's attack? Does that make sense? That might sound so simple, but it is completely, it will transform the way you pray. Instead of you trying to fight the enemy by yourself, you're actually accessing heaven, the resources of heaven, like Elisha did. The army, we have an angel army. I mean, there are many more for us. There are many more for us than the things that are coming against you. You might think you're overwhelmed. You might think you're outnumbered. But there is many more for you than there are against you. Right? A third of the angels fell, right? That means there's two-thirds in heaven. That means that two to one, right? Even who knows how many more. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So pray for prophetic insight. And when you get it, what do you do with it? So let's say you get a picture from the Lord. You're praying about a situation, and you get some intel. You get some heavenly intel, the prophetic, whatever you want to call it. What do you do with that intel? Do you just like go around and just tell everybody, I saw this? You know, sometimes some of us do that sometimes. It's like, I got this crazy revelation. Okay, what did you do with it? You know what I'm saying? God's wanting us now to partner with him with it. So it's real simple. We pray it out, right? Just like we've been talking about before, you know, we've been talking about partnering with God with the healing and the prophetic and with evangelism. We partner with him. Okay, God, you're doing this right here. Now you want to use me in our area, our family here to actually see this come to pass and just begin to pray for it. Now we can go really deep in this area and you know, they'll have to be for other times of like different types of prayer of intercession. And, but it's that simple. It's like, okay, God, let's look at the Elijah example. Okay, God shows Elijah this army, and then Elijah shows his buddy here, the army. And then I bet in this dialogue, he's like, Lord, what do you want me to do here? What is this army here for? Now, it doesn't go into this dialogue in the Bible, obviously, but in his relationship, he knew to strike this army with blindness. So he spoke it out. He declared it. He commanded it. And in the same way, that's what we are to do. So when you get heavenly intel, declare it. Pray it out. Partner with God. Wrestle in a good sense. Not like we're fighting with God or trying to twist his arm. To see that thing accomplished. And guess what happens a lot of times? You'll get more prophetic perspective of what's going on. You'll get even more. He'll start giving you targets to go after with him. Okay? So we're actually going to practice this. You guys up for practicing it this morning? Just real simple. And this is just a tool. This is not five steps. This is how you exactly pray. If you don't pray like this, you won't see the kingdom. This is just like a tool that I've been using for a long time, and I've seen awesome God showing up and doing awesome things. And I believe it's biblical. And I have like three sermons in here of examples of all this, of how we can partner with God and see the kingdom of heaven come, and how we can be focused in our prayer, and how we can be effective in our prayer and partnering with him. Because a lot of times, how do you know, we're kind of like squirrels. We're like, what's that? We're kind of like squirrels. You know, like in our prayer time, we're kind of like, we're praying on this one thing. We're targeting on it. We're asking the Lord, what are you doing? You know, and then we're praying. And all of a sudden, you know, our mind kind of wanders and we go to over here, and then we're praying for this, and then we're praying for this, and then our mind kind of wanders. Oh, wait, then we're back over here and we're praying for this, you know, and that's okay. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we're just being like squirrels. We're just kind of like, we haven't disciplined our mind to like fix our eyes on what God's doing. You know what I mean? How many of you guys been in a prayer meeting where you're like, you're praying for like Betty's aunt over here, and then all of a sudden you're praying for like, I don't know, the government officials, and it's like, wait, let's just like, what is God saying right now? Let's target that. Let's target it until we feel a release. Not necessarily feel is the wrong word, where we sense that okay, I think we did what he wanted us to do. Let's move on. What else is on your heart, Lord? Do you know what I'm saying? All right, cool. Well, let's practice that real quick. That's what the whiteboard is for. So just, we're going to practice literally targeting something that's on like the Father's heart and just see what he's speaking to us. And then we're going to like pray. We're going to come in partnership with that and pray that into being. And maybe he'll give us something more. And we'll just pray that into being and just kind of just keep targeting it. And he's going to speak to us. He will. He's looking for somebody. He's searching to and fro, right, for somebody. To say, here I am, God. I actually care what's on your heart. I actually care what you're thinking about, your thoughts right now, you know?